Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Your Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for a bit of the battle space of the war for the free world, as I think of it. And we are joined, as we are each week at this time, by our friend and colleague, one of the preeminent combatants in that battle space, my friend and colleague Fred Grandy, Executive Vice President of the Center for Security Policy, former member of Congress, star of stage and screen, and of course a professional talk radio host in the Washington market for many years. Fred, a lot to cover with you this week. We had at the Center for Security Policy up in New York this week a marvelous dinner. You were there. The guest of honor was the former Attorney General of the United States, Michael Mukasey. What was the thrust of his address, and what do you think is its significance?
Well, I think the substance, and it was a very substantive address, one that you'd normally don't associate with an after-dinner crowd, but I applaud the judge for doing this, because essentially what he did was tell us, and it was obviously an appreciative crowd and to some degree an informed crowd, that our efforts to identify radical Islam with the ideology of the religion is exactly how we stop terrorism, as opposed to what the Obama administration seems to be saying now, which is, oh, no, no, you can't even identify anything like jihad or Sharia or the terminology. This guy, of course, was the federal judge that presided over the Blind Sheikh trial. And from that perspective, and continuing on as Attorney General, he was able, and this was the first time I'd actually heard this, Frank, to connect the dots from what led up to the successful prosecution of Abdelrahman, the Black Sheikh, through 9/11 and beyond. And more Americans need to understand how those dots connect.
It really was a sort of master's course in what we've gotten ourselves into, and the timeline that he provided, much of which, of course, he was very immediately involved in, either as the presiding judge in this trial of the Blind Sheikh, as you say, or as the Attorney General of the United States. And it did, you know, stitch it together in a marvelous way. I believe we've got the video of this posted at securefreedom.org. I encourage everyone to take a look at it. It's lengthy and in depth, but as competent and rigorous a treatment of this as I've come across. And it was indeed a very special moment for all of us who were there.
I also found it something of an ironic postscript that right after that, the news came out that Nasser Abdo, the Fort Hood copycat, said unequivocally in public testimony, yes, it's Islam. It's my religion that caused me to do what I do. And, of course, Nidal Hassan, the guy who actually perpetrated the Fort Hood massacre, is still nowhere identified with jihad.
Right. And nowhere near trial, as best I can tell, either. And this Abdo fellow was obviously something of a copycat in terms of what Nidal Hassan had done. Fortunately, stopped before he could inflict this kind of mayhem. But what's interesting about the Abdo matter, as you know, Fred Grandy, is he was given conscientious objector status by the Secretary of the Army, a man you served with in the United States Congress. And I think one of the really abysmal decisions taken under this administration to kind of give a lot more latitude to these Islamists in our military to both be in the military and yet not serve as they're expected to do.
That's an
extraordinary story.
That's why his speech was even more potent, because he's essentially saying we are doing exactly the wrong thing. We are not attacking the problem at its core, which is the intertwining of the religion and the ideology, with the religion asking as a kind of cloak of immunity behind these totalitarian premises that undermined Islam.
Right. Specifically, this sort of coming together in the form of Sharia, this ideological doctrine. And the former Attorney General of the United States was very clear that that's the heart of the problem at the moment. Check it out again at securefreedom.org, folks. Fred Grandy, speaking of Islamists, speaking of Sharia, speaking of the threat it poses to all of us, looks as though it may be a sweep for adherence to this doctrine in Egypt. They've already got the parliament in the first round of the presidential elections. Their candidate, to the surprise of some commentators, not so much us, but some commentators, seem to, have the pole position, as they say. There will be a runoff. What will it mean for not only the people of Egypt and others in the region, but for us, if, in fact, the Muslim Brotherhood takes over the strategically quite important nation of Egypt?
Well, the runoff in mid-June, notwithstanding, between Mohamed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood late arriving candidate, but nonetheless the winner in the plurality of the primary, and this guy, Ahmed, I believe his name is Shaki, yeah, is, I think, pretty clear. The Muslim Brotherhood is going to, I think, run the table on this, because the third finisher was this guy, Abdel Fattah, who described himself, we talked about this, as a moderate Islamist.
Oh, yes, the moderate Islamist,
I mean,
yes.
Part and parcel with the Islamist takeover. And so consequently, I think what we have to look forward to is a guy who will help the Egyptian parliament implement Sharia in a rather methodical fashion. What that means to the Camp David Accords, what that means to U.S. relations, I don't know. But I have to say, Frank, based on what this administration has done, accommodating the Muslim Brotherhood, we're essentially getting what we're paying for. We've given these guys $1.5 billion, and I think they're using it to further their agenda. And we know the Brotherhood, by the way, buys votes. I mean, these are the consummate ward healers. They set up markets in poorer sections of Cairo and provide water and fuel to people. And of course, they vote for the Brotherhood candidates.
And they do so in sufficient numbers to really belie the argument that these guys don't enjoy popular support. It may not be the masses of Egyptians, but it's certainly plenty to get them through the ballot box to the position of control from which I suspect it will be very, very difficult to displace them.
The one irony for us, I think, that has practiced democracy happily a little longer than these guys have, is Morsi and the other candidate,
Shakir, I think.
Shakir.
Right.
Together got less than 50% of the vote. And yet these are the only two guys in the runoff. Now that, to me, tells us a great deal about how the Egyptians are interpreting the democratic process. Because you've got two minority candidates running against one another, and supposedly the majority of votes were for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a lot of experience, Fred Grandy, with electioneering, and I'm sure an appreciation for what it means when small, perhaps, but disciplined, organized, and ruthless people are able to exercise disproportionate influence in, as you say, the ground game of elections, and in this case, perhaps simply set up the ultimate, and permanent, for all intents and purposes, takeover of Egypt by some very dangerous Islamists.
Fred, the political machine worthy of Chicago.
Indeed. Well, speaking of Chicago, I wanted to close our conversation today with you, Fred Grandy, by recapping the president's address to the graduating cadets of the Air Force Academy. Insights into his presidency, or perhaps somebody else's presidency?
I read the speech this morning, and as I looked it over, I said to myself, they must have pulled this out of a drawer marked George W. Bush, because this speech sounds like something the former president, as opposed to the present president, would say. I mean, the gap between rhetoric and reality, I think, is found. I've got a paragraph right here, and this is near the conclusion. He says, "And so we stand with the student in the street who demands a life of dignity and opportunity. Except, of course, that student in the street of Tehran, who was totally avoided when the Green Revolution stood up to Khomeini. Then he goes on to say, we stand with women everywhere who deserve the same rights as men. Well, except for those women in Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, and now probably Egypt and Libya, who will see their rights compromised and probably their physical persons abused if Sharia continues. He says, we stand with the activists, unbowed in their prison cells. Well, that obviously doesn't apply to Shalik Afridi, the guy that they've just thrown in the Pakistani slammer for 33 years for helping us. So I looked at this and I said, surely the cadets know enough to know the difference between what this guy is saying and what this guy is doing, but I'm afraid that may not be true.
Well, we will be exploring it further with you, Fred Grandy, and others, I think, in the segments coming up. I want also just to clarify, Ahmed Shafiq is the number two runner-up in this presidential sweepstakes in Egypt. We'll be following his trajectory with you and others. Fred Grandy, thanks so much for joining us. Keep up the good work at the Center, and we'll talk with you again next week. Next up, Congressman Tom Rooney of the House Intelligence Committee joins us to talk about playing fast and loose with secret information. What's the Obama administration doing, and what will it mean to you? Straight ahead.
My name is Sunday Hollis, and I totally lost the cravings for sweets. I totally lost the cravings for bread, even meat. And some people, you know, you would see people say, oh, well, you're eating a salad because you're trying to diet, but you just don't have a taste for any other junk anymore. And it is so, so, so true. I'm thinking this is something that the celebrities are using. They're just not giving the meta system the credit for it. I've tried everything under the sun, and this is the only product that I have even called the company and asked them, could I sell it for them? This is a product where you can actually use the word awesome. I mean, and it is the whole essence of the word awesome.
Don't wait another minute to start losing weight. Call Judy Singer's The Meta System at 1-800-711-JUDY. That's 1-800-711-JUDY.
The first step in winning a war is to know whom you're fighting. 9 years after 9/11, the U.S. security establishment has failed to tell us. The very words we need to describe the war are being outlawed. We went from the war on terror under Bush to the war on man-made disasters under Obama. Neither identifies the threat doctrine behind the aggression, Islamic Sharia law. That's why the Center for Security Policy assembled Team B, an independent group of national security professionals, including Bill Clinton's Director of Central Intelligence, James Woolsey. The result is a book that challenges the assumptions of the current administration and exposes the supremacist nature of Sharia and the jihad its adherents are obliged to engage in. This report names the names of those responsible and makes plain the mortal peril now posed to America's Constitution, our national security, and way of life. For more information, visit ShariaTheThreat.com or order your copy of Sharia, The Threat to America at Amazon.com.
Experts say there's no shortage of crude oil.
There really is no shortage of oil at the moment.
So why do gasoline prices keep going up?
There's all this fear that's out there, and that really goes a long way to making prices go up.
And home prices seem to be headed even lower.
We really aren't seeing any markets that are showing any sustained recovery at this point.
Now more than ever, is this a timeout or a double dip?
It could halt the economy's recovery in its tracks.
1260 WRC. New choice, intelligent talk.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by Congressman Tom Rooney of the 16th District of Florida. He is an up-and-coming member of the House Select Committee on Intelligence and also the House Armed Services Committee, a twofer, who actually is also a threefer, really, because he is a deputy whip for the majority in the House of Representatives, an extraordinarily influential figure there, and a man that we wanted to take stock of an issue that I know is of concern to him and should be of concern to all of us, namely evidence that the Obama administration has been taking liberties with some of the most sensitive information in our government, seemingly to promote the president's credentials as commander-in-chief. Congressman Rooney, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. Tell us about the incident that in particular is raising this concern and what you're trying to do to get to the bottom of it.
Well, you know, we've heard that there's information that our office has received that members of the Defense Department as well as the CIA have been given a permission to go ahead and talk to certain Hollywood movie producers, specifically a woman named Miss Bigelow, who's the producer of The Hurt Locker, which I thought was a good movie, but to interview people from SEAL Team 6, become one of the planners, as well as receive other intel with regard to that raid on the compound in Abbottabad. And I, you know, being on the intel committee, was privy to see a lot of our methods there and talk about, you know, the sources that we had. And those type of things we keep near and dear to our close to the vest, so to speak. As much as you'd love to brag about how great we are and what we did and what who the SEALs were so we can celebrate them, you can't, because the war on terror and the jihad against Americans will go on. And whether it might not be these current SEALs, it might be their families or their children who the jihad will continue against. And there's also training purposes and methods that we use that if you glorify them on the silver screen, I mean, you're basically just taking that method off the table for the future and saying, okay, they're going to prepare for this, so obviously we can't use this the way that we did this anymore.
Right.
And specifically, I can't go into detail, even though I did read it in the paper this morning, that there were certain things about planning that were discussed that had not been released yet, and the producers of this movie found out about it and were taken to this place and now have access to it, and that is not something that was released to the public, and it's not something that should have been.
So, Congressman Tom Rooney, what are you doing to try to find out the facts here and to see if corrective action can be taken at this late date?
Well, we sent a letter to the Defense Department, to the CIA, asking for an Inspector General investigation into whether or not, first of all, did the meeting take place? Because there's contradictory stories from the Defense Department. Some people in the Defense Department say, yes, they did meet. There, the SEAL team personnel and these producers there, and there's some people that say otherwise. If they did meet, what information was provided? What the classified information? Who knew about it? Who gave authorization? And the reason that I'm asking this is because if it does come out that we feel that sensitive information was given and used in this movie so that the whole wide world could see, then we are going to demand that there be action taken whether there should be a prosecution. At the very least, there should be dismissal. You know, we saw the Secret Service down in Colombia get dismissed immediately after, as they should have, because they put themselves in a compromised situation where information could have, or they could have been blackmailed into giving information to these prostitutes or whoever they work for in exchange for keeping quiet. You know, this, in my opinion, is the same exact type of threat, in that you're giving away our secrets and information that is for the sake of national security, best kept classified.
Right. Well, especially Congressman Tom Rooney, because as you understand so well, you may be putting the lives of those men doing the missions in the future in jeopardy, as well as compromising their ability to perform the mission. Congressman, if I may, let me just switch gears briefly and pick up on something you alluded to a moment ago. Of course, this is all about the raid on Abbottabad, the SEAL Team 6 takedown of Osama bin Laden. Just in the space of the past day, we've had a conviction of a Pakistani doctor by the name of Shakil Afridi, who, again, in, I think, an ill-advised disclosure, the Secretary of Defense, maybe at the time was a CIA director, acknowledged that this doctor had provided some help to us in confirming that bin Laden was, in fact, present there in that compound in Abbottabad. What's your take on the fact that this doctor has now been convicted and sentenced to 33 years in prison in Pakistan for treason, for having helped us take down this terrorist?
Well, let me go back a little bit in your question. You're absolutely right. This is exactly what we're talking about here. This information should have never been made public by Panetta, and he knows it. And it came out in an interview, and all of a sudden this guy was a target of his own government, who's supposed to be our ally, and they convict him of treason. The information that he was trying to help us verify that it was bin Laden in that compound was not supposed to be revealed. And because of whatever reason, this administration likes to boast about some of their victories. You know, it's one thing to have the victories, but it shows, I think, the composure of the commander-in-chief and his administration, what they do after those victories, especially with classified information.
Yep.
You don't showboat and you don't get starstruck by Hollywood and give them all the information. You hold on to it and you show composure and poise. That's why you're the commander-in-chief. But anyway, to answer your question, I think what it does is it really verifies the fact that Pakistan is really our ally. And this guy, Afridi, Dr. Afridi, was helping the United States, our ally, go after somebody who Pakistan said that they were also trying to help us go after, which obviously they weren't.
Right.
But if he was helping us, and then they convict him of treason, who is he being treasonous against?
Right.
So in my translation of that, 2 + 2 = 4, but Pakistan must be saying that they were on the same side as bin Laden because Afridi was helping the U.S.
Right.
If you're convicting him of treason, then, you know, whose side are we on here, and whose side is Pakistan on?
Yeah.
If they're convicting a guy that was helping us, their supposed ally, I am extremely upset about this. You know, our office is trying to figure out now what our role should be, if any, in requesting the administration to step in and try to assist this guy who was, in my opinion, helping his own country help an ally take out one of the most wanted people in the history of our planet.
Well, I hope you will find a way to help Congressman Tom Rooney, because this is obviously a travesty, and it sends a very bad signal to both those who stand with us that we're letting this kind of thing happen to him, and, as you say, that we're disclosing him. It calls to mind, of course, the recent episode in which they've also revealed the identity, basically, of a double agent that the United Kingdom and the Saudis had managed to get into a Yemeni cell. These are very troubling things, and I'm really very pleased that in your capacity on the House Intelligence Committee, you are taking a leadership role in trying to get to the bottom of them. Let me ask you a related question, if I may, Congressman. We've had reports that the FBI and CIA have, among other agencies of the United States government, now been told, basically, by the administration that they must have any training materials that they use and trainers that they use in what they call countering violent extremism, that these folks have to be vetted by leaders of the Muslim American community, who, it seems, based on an analysis we've done at MuslimBrotherhoodInAmerica.com, are virtually without exception Muslim Brotherhood operatives. Does this concern you? We're not going to have time to do this. Congressman, forgive me. I am out of time, but I hope you'll come back to us and visit with us. Okay. I thought it would. And if we could visit about it, because this is a place
sure.
that just cries out for corrective action as well. And I want to visit with you as well about the sequestration business and what you're trying to do on the House Armed Services Committee to remedy that train wreck. So much to talk about, so little time. Thank you for your service to our country, Congressman Tom Rooney of the 16th District of Florida, and particularly for your help in trying to ensure that we all understand the stakes and the challenges to our security arising in these various important areas. Keep up the good work, sir. Have a good recess,
Thank
and we'll
you,
talk
sir.
With you when you get back.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hi, NBA forward Kevin Durant from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
And that's a slam dunk.
Whether you like to shoot hoops like me, skateboard, ride a bike,
or dance on your roof. Just move it your way.
For an hour a day. Because moving every day puts you on the offense towards a stronger you.
And that makes you part of a winning team.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Bugs.
So be a player.
Be a player.
Get up, play, and move it your way. Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
You said it at www.letsmove.gov. Let's hear that one more time, Doc. That's www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
For decades, the Democratic Republic of Congo has endured economic collapse, poverty, and war. More than 3.5 million people have died in the conflict. Today, rebel forces continue to wreak havoc in the eastern Kivu provinces. The International Rescue Committee estimates that 30,000 children have been recruited as soldiers, and thousands more have lost their parents. Most of these children lack the most basic level of goods, security, and most especially, clean drinking water. Yet, there is a well of hope coming to eastern Congo in a village called Uvira. Washington, D.C.'s National Community Church is partnering with Global Outreach to bring a water pipeline to the Congo for Christ compound, an orphanage for children who have lost their parents to war and AIDS. Building a clean water source will sustain the school, provide for the children, and hundreds more in the village. Go to www.waterforcongo.com. Learn about the work of Global Outreach and give. You can be part of the community in Uvira, and like a well, you can be a source of hope in life. www.waterforcongo.com.
In 1966 in Anchorage, Alaska, a talented child was born. He would go on to be one out of only 11 Alaskans to make it to the major leagues. The odds of him striking out more than 3,000 hitters? 1 in 33 million. The odds of this pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Autism is getting closer to home. From 1 in 5,000 only 20 years ago, today 1 in 110 children are diagnosed. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Effney. You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260 in Washington, D.C.
Now more with Frank Effney.
Welcome back. We're joined, as we have the privilege of being each week, by our friend, colleague, and much admired boots-on-the-ground guy, Jim Hansen, a former weapons sergeant in the Special Forces of the United States. He is a man that we turn to, as I say, to give us the perspective of how the troops see a lot of what's going on in the highfalutin circles that often occupy us here in Washington. Jim, let's start with something we were talking a moment ago with Congressman Tom Rooney about. He's quite agitated, and I think understandably and rightly so, about the disclosures. It seems now it's a series of them. It's hard to keep up. But the ones that we were talking about most immediately were about the evidence that the administration has parted the veil for the benefit of some filmmakers who, I'm sure purely coincidentally, Jim, are going to be producing a film just in time for the election, that seems to lay out a lot of sensitive information, or at least expose these filmmakers to a lot of sensitive information about how SEAL Team 6, you know, operates and you special forces do your jobs. Give us, first of all, your reading on what's going on here, and second of all, what you think the implications might be for the troops, for their mission, and their safety.
Well, I think what's going on is quite obviously, as Obama has proven, the military's main function is to serve as, you know, aides for his reelection campaign. You know, he seems to think his administration and his political tools seem to think that the military, you know, is there to deliver on campaign promises, which was his faux surge into Afghanistan, complete with expiration date. And, you know, spiking the ball on bin Laden, you know, the entire victory tour he's done there. You can add that to the mix. This film is obviously, you know, I don't doubt for a second the reasoning behind giving that unprecedented access is because that's all he's got. You know, he's got nothing but I shot bin Laden in the eye to campaign on. He certainly can't campaign on his record. His record's abysmal. So let's go to the tactics and techniques that may be exposed by this. Honestly, I don't think they're going to expose anything that is going to legitimately actually put our troops at risk. All right. You know, the way our guys operate, they're not going to show anything that the bad guys don't know or could learn that will stop, you know, and potentially get an operator killed on a raid. They're just not going to do that. The military wouldn't do it. What they're mostly going to do is expose to the world the fact that we're willing to do it more than anything. And, you know, is it a bad thing? Yes. Is it as bad as it could be? We'll see. All right. I'll caveat that by saying we'll see. I sincerely hope they won't, and I don't believe that, you know, the people who are giving them this are going to give them things that would legitimately put individual lives at risk, but they put the mission overall at risk.
Yeah, but Jim, here's the question that I guess I've got, is it seems as though the military is going to exercise the kind of discipline that you're talking about, but it's these political folks who have been given access to some of this information or have been at least in the loop in terms of the use of these forces who seem to be spilling the beans. There's an example that I've been told about, and I'm not sure of the details. I don't think we should know the details, frankly, that these filmmakers were given access to a training facility that had not been previously identified. And, you know, who knows what the takeaway from seeing that training facility and watching people go through it might be. But the very fact that we're exposing to people without clearances, without, well, you would argue a need to know, the kind of places where you guys learn how to do your stuff, isn't that in and of itself a bit troubling to you?
I think the political implications are more troubling than the actual tactical things that could be exposed. And now, like I said, I would hope to God I'm not wrong, you know, and they're not actually going to reveal some of the things that we do at the complete tactical level that would help our guys, you know, achieve surprise and do those kind of things. But more than that, it's the fact that, you know, how we use sources, you know, how we develop these plans, how we do the things to get the information that enables a raid, I think those are going to be incredibly damaging, and those are being used, you know, to attempt to make Obama look good.
Yeah, naked political purposes.
Yeah, and I was down in Tampa at the Special Operations Forces. They had the International SOFT Conference and the SOFT Industry Conference, and Hillary Clinton gave the headline speech at the gala. And she couldn't resist spiking the ball about hacking some al-Qaeda in Yemen websites. You know, I mean, they just seem to think that everything they do is designed to be publicly announced and to make them look like some kind of tough guys. And I don't think it's quiet professionals is what the special ops community is. And these guys absolutely, positively do not understand that.
Yeah. Well, again, I think you're right. We have to sort of reserve judgment until we see the final products here. But there seems to be a pattern here. We talked, I think, last week, Jim, with you about this exposure of what turned out to be not even one of our agents, but a British and Saudi operation that penetrated al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. The UBL raid, you know, details being disclosed before that. It's just very worrying that there's such a rank disregard for sensitive information and procedures. Jim, let me quickly turn to another issue that we talked about with Congressman Rooney, just to get your take on it. We've visited it often, you and I, about Pakistan and the double game it's been playing and how that really augurs ill for an end game in Afghanistan, neighboring Afghanistan, that would be in our interest. Give me your reaction to the sentencing of this chap, this Dr. Shakil Afridi, to 33 years in Pakistani prison. We've already introduced him as a guy who helped us identify, confirm the presence of bin Laden in that compound in Abbottabad. But what's it tell you about the true loyalties of this government in Pakistan?
Yeah, well, there aren't any. I mean, the true loyalty of the government in Pakistan is to each individual faction of that government in Pakistan. You can't even claim that there's, you know, one goal of the government itself. They're all infighting against each other and backstabbing. I mean, it's a pretty treacherous place overall. You know, and again, I would wonder who was the one who actually initially caused this guy's identity to come out. You know, there's another indication potentially of this administration playing fast and loose with information and not understanding operational security.
Well, we certainly Jim, that Leon Panetta, at the time, I think he was the CIA director, confirming that the guy had helped us. That right there is a certain indicator.
Might have been his death sentence. Yeah, I'm surprised it was 33 years and they didn't just lop his head off or, you know, shoot him in the street as prone to happen to people who are on the wrong side of the Islamists in that country.
Yeah,
so,
may well happen to
another example.
Yep. But more generally, Jim, what about Pakistan and, well, the double game? Can we, you know, at the moment, it seems the administration is sort of behaving in a very subdued way about this guy's fate, despite the fact that he provided such important help to us, in the interest of, I guess, getting the routes open again through Pakistan for the purposes of extracting our forces. Can we count on them to, you know, enable us to get out of there through those routes without harm or at incredible expense?
I wouldn't. You know, I mean, I don't see what you would base that on. You know, anytime they want to put the screws to us, they know it's a landlocked country in Afghanistan. We're either going in by air or we're driving through there or one of the northern, less easy to get to places. So, I mean, we don't have any good options. They know that. And they've used it against us. They will continue to use it against us. And we will continue to cave and cut and run and increasingly try to use the magic ninja plan to do what we can in that, you know, rapidly disintegrating hellhole.
Yeah. Jim, we've only got about a minute left. And again, our guest is Jim Hansen, now with Absio. He's a former Special Forces guy himself and invaluable in our boots on the ground stock taking here. But Jim, getting the boots out of the ground in Afghanistan was the focus of this NATO summit. Quick take on that.
We're running away as fast as we can. That was, like I said, I was down at the Special Ops Conference in Tampa, and I'll tell you who's picking up the slack. You know, the conventional forces are leaving, and the only people who are going to be left in any significant operational numbers on the ground is soft forces from us and our allies, and it's going to be, you know, they'll be playing whack-a-mole and trying to keep the bad guys down as much as they can.
Yeah. I've just got to tell you, Jim, it worries me sick to think about those guys operating, though, in what will probably increasingly be not only behind enemy lines where they're going in to whack the moles, but the basis from which they're operating will probably be increasingly insecure. Anyway, this is a subject for another day's conversation. Jim Hansen, as always, thanks so much for joining us and for all the work you do, and a happy Memorial Day to you and your comrades. We appreciate your service incalculably, both in uniform and here with us each week. We'll talk with you again next week and look forward to it very much. Next up, we'll be talking with Melanie Morgan, one of the real patriots in our country who's done a tremendous amount to try to help us always remember, not just on Memorial Day, but all the time, the service of the Jim Hansons of our country.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
I was able to lose the 80 pounds I gained due to pregnancy. It was pretty easy. Eat whatever I wanted and not think about it.
The Meta System from Judy Singer has been helping make weight loss easier for a quarter century.
My husband's grandmother used it 20 years ago to lose weight for a wedding and said it was the only way to go.
The Meta System also has an excellent support staff.
They were very supportive. The first time that I ordered the product, they called me and suggested that I order a lower dosage to begin with. They didn't want me to jump the gun right off the bat, and it was nice to know that they actually cared.
And the weight loss is so dramatic, people wonder.
With the Meta System, I've got many questions about how I managed raising a baby and working full-time and lose the weight and eat whatever I wanted.
People who use it recommend it.
I suggested the Meta System to my mother, and she has lost 30 pounds.
Learn more about weight loss with Judy Singer's The Meta System by calling 800-711-JUDY, 800-711-JUDY. The Meta System from Judy Singer, the powerful, all-natural way to lose weight, 800-711-JUDY.
Hey, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the war of ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have held the same mirror for 13 years.
I have been decorated with purple dinosaurs, baseball teams, and football helmets.
I have witnessed 33 Thanksgiving dinners and one wedding proposal.
I have tiny notches marking the growth of three children.
I have caused a learning disability.
I am the reason that a fifth grader simply can't sit still.
I am responsible for a five-year-old's rage.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home is built before 1978, your family could be at risk. Let's make all kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
I am the reason a child has trouble hearing.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
In Washington, Hugh Hewitt has the diagnosis.
They don't understand the need for speed.
Oh, we'll get to it. Don't worry. We'll get it done. Open amendment process, blah, 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 blah.
Not in the least bit clued in to the sense of urgency, but I don't think the Beltway is.
I'm just beginning to think it is a Beltway disease.
Kind of an invisible wall separates them from what the people think.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weeknights from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New Choice, intelligent talk.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill,
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff,
like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say
sweater?
That?
Really?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by one of my favorite people, Melanie Morgan. She is a celebrity in many respects, not least because she is a
talk show host in her own right at KSFO in San Francisco, where she co-hosts the morning program there with Brian Sussman, another great American. She is the author of, among other things, American Mourning, the intimate story of two families joined by war, torn by beliefs. And most especially, she's the driving force behind a number of efforts, including Move America Forward, which she founded, that are all about trying to help our troops and commemorate the work that they've done and memorialize those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. And I couldn't really think of anybody better to be talking to on the eve of Memorial Day weekend than Melanie Morgan. First of all, to salute you, Melanie, for what you're doing, and to talk a little bit about it for those who'd like to know what they can do to join you in helping support our troops in a very practical and effective way. So welcome to Secure Freedom Radio, and give us a short course on the Troopathon 5 as the place to start your upcoming event with Move of America Forward.
Well, first of all, it is an honor to be with you again, Frank, and I'm super excited about what's coming up on June 12th. You know, I don't think a lot of people realize this, or they haven't taken the time to think about it, but now, as we observe the Memorial Day holiday, it's a good thing to remember that there are 68,000 fighting forces in Afghanistan, and there are 50,000 troops still engaged in Iraq. But people are not thinking about that. They have forgotten that these two wars really are still hot in many ways, and that's why my organization, Move America Forward, which has been dedicated to supporting our troops and their mission for, 8 years now that we've been in existence, has been trying to raise money for care packages to send to the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's why we're going to have a live broadcast on July 12th, and we're bringing people in from all across the spectrum of talk radio, some of our biggest luminaries like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and you, of course, Frank. And then we're bringing people in from Hollywood, Gary Sinise from CSI New York, as well as John Voight, the amazing actor. And we are bringing people in from the music entertainment industry. And we've got a bunch of big name groups that are going to be playing. So it is going to be an 8-hour long web broadcast that you can go to called troopathon.org, and you can get all the details there, and you can also make a donation right now to get us started.
Yeah, it's a terrific effort, Melanie, and it's focused on providing something tangible for these troops to remember that, there are people on the home front who care about them, and to bring a little bit of that home front to them out in the very, in some cases, quite hazardous places around the world that they're serving in. And remind us again, it's something that will be taking place on the 12th of June, but you can become involved in helping it right now by going to the website.
The website is troopathon.org, and you can make a donation there, or you can go to our Move America Forward, either one, moveamericaforward.org, to learn more about our organization and how we're trying to support our troops. You know, Frank, I have been to Iraq, and I have been to Kuwait, and I have been to the Middle East a number of times as a journalist. I worked as a mainstream reporter for ABC News for many, many years, and I have to tell you that there is nothing more tangible and more meaningful to a troop member, to somebody who is serving in a war, and to get these care packages. It is amazing to watch their faces light up when they see a little bit of home. And also, when you buy a care package, you can sign a personal note of support to a service. And that, really, in many ways, is the best thing of all for us.
Yeah. Melanie, in addition to Move America Forward and the Troopathon, you devote yourself to so many other causes on behalf of our troops, including one that you literally have just completed, as we're speaking, on behalf of a fantastic organization by the name of Fisher House. Tell us a little bit about what Fisher House does and how you've been involved in helping them, and what others can do as well if they'd like to.
Well, we just did a 4-hour-long live broadcast here at KSFO in San Francisco, where I'm co-hosting with Brian Sussman, and we were fortunate enough to have such really generous listeners who donated over $100,000 to the Fisher House. And what the Fisher House does is provide a sanctuary for military family members whose sons or daughters or whose relatives have been seriously injured in war, in Iraq and Afghanistan, or who are ill from previous wars. these family members have someplace to go that is free. They are beautiful. They are all over the United States. The one in Bethesda, Maryland, where you're located in the Washington, D.C. area, is spectacular, has done amazing work. The one that we were working to help support is the one in Palo Alto, which is located near the Polytrauma Center, which is where the people with all the serious head injuries, the explosions in Afghanistan come. And there are, of course, Fisher houses, over 35 of them across not only the United States but the world. And so the Fisher people are just amazing, and we really love their work. So we're trying to help them out.
Yeah. Listen, I just want to say these are folks who do some of the most unsung kinds of service to our troops. Their family members are, of course, in many ways traumatized as the individual soldiers and airmen and Marines and sailors who are harmed in the course of doing their duties. And these folks at Fisher House take care of them in their time of greatest need, and it's a marvelous effort. And I salute you, Melanie, and your co-host Brian Sussman at KSFO for the work you're doing to support them. Melanie, let me broaden the lens a little bit. Of course, as we reflect on Memorial Day, one of the things that it seems to me ought to be uppermost in our minds is that we want to make sure that not only are we not forgetting about our troops, but that we're ensuring that they've got what they need to do the job to protect the rest of us. And I know you've followed very closely through your organization, Move America Forward, and, of course, in your role as a commentator and as a very, very important talk show host. What are we to make of the President of the United States, for example, this week at the Air Force Academy, talking about how we're going to ensure that we maintain superiority in every area of warfare, from air, land, sea, and even space? And how does that square with what we're actually seeing in the way of the budgets that he's promoting or insisting upon in the Congress that are going to cut the dickens out of these military budgets and therefore out of the equipment that these troops have?
Well, let me take off my nonpartisan, nonpolitical hat when I do my work with Move America Forward and put on my talk show hat and tell you that in my personal opinion and of the that I have arrived at, by the way, by talking to many members of the military, people who have served or are still serving. I Skype with a lot of our service members to find out what's going on over there. It seems to me that the president may be talking out of both sides of his mouth, and it's deeply disturbing because, you know, the president has held himself up as the person who is always supporting the troops. In fact, he has donated about $500,000 of his Nobel Peace Prize to the Fisher House organization. But on the other hand, he's a man who has cut, drastically cut, military appropriations for our troops because he wants his legacy to be he got everybody out of Iraq and Afghanistan, even at the expense of peace, really. And he may be in danger of losing the peace.
Yeah, this is what's really worrying is that we're going to find through the same kind of thing that we've gone through before of hollowing out our military, that far from making the world a safer place, we've made it more dangerous as it incentivizes people to come after us. Melanie, one other thing that we have touched on in the past with you, and I just very quickly, and we've only got a minute left, I'm also concerned about this president's attitude towards Sharia, and particularly Sharia's implications for women. Quick thoughts on that as we're reflecting on the Memorial Day season?
Deeply concerning to me as well, because I have seen up close and in person the effects of Sharia law on women. And we have heard and seen so many stories of women who are clad in their black burqas, who aren't allowed to vote, have no say in their own lives, over their own bodies, and they have been actually stoned to death as a result of some sort of infraction, usually impossible to prove in a court of law. So it is deeply concerning to me, and I know that many people that I've spoken with are concerned that we are moving that direction. We see it influence in our own courts, where some judges are actually saying we need to take into consideration Sharia law. We do not.
We do not, indeed.
You know that.
Melanie Morgan, we have to let you go at that. You know the vicissitudes of the schedule. Thank you so much for what you do with Move American Forward and with your program at KSFO and in so many other respects. We appreciate it enormously. We look forward to talking with you again about all of these issues in the near future and to the rest of you next week. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Happy Memorial Day.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.